Tabir, Tabir. You mean I'm W.D. Muhammad?
Okay. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. We praise God. We witness that God is one who cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation. And we witness that Muhammad is the seal of the prophet, the last of the prophets, and Allah's messenger, God's messenger, upon him be peace, and what follows of that traditional saying, a salute to our prophet, Ameen. We are very happy and pleased, and filling our hearts, have been blessed to be here to witness the address to this gathering here in Harlem, New York, in America, the United States of America, by a very special creation of God, this great leader of the Folklore people, who is now leading also members of different religions, not only the Catholic community and the Christian community, but now she's leading even members from the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community. And I always believe that if we recognize good and support good, we can get nothing but good from it. And it wasn't surprising at all for me to hear that a Muslim who has benefited from the association with this folklore group and their movement have become even a better Muslim and decided to practice the five principles that they weren't practicing before. That's not surprising to me at all. In fact, I have from my own experience, because I was a person calling myself a Muslim, but had to become acquainted with my own religion. I was calling myself a Muslim, but believing in something that was not Islam. And my father, who taught me this, and my mother, who supported him so faithfully, gave it to me in a way that made me believe that it was genuine, it was the whole truth, and anything else that differed with it was not to be accepted. But as my mind grew, my intelligence grew, my experience grew, and my heart got bigger, as a result of growing, I came to believe that someone had given us something just to hold us for a while, but did not want us to keep it always. So I say, we are calling ourselves Muslims. Now we need to really learn what is Islam, because Islam is the religion of the Muslim. So I began to study the Quran with an open mind for the first time, and I came to the conclusion that God is exactly what God says he is in Christianity and Islam. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he says, God is good, all good, and accepts only good. He doesn't accept anything bad. He accepts only good. And this was a human motivation in me. I was motivated because my mother told me, one thing she told me, that Wallace, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. Be honest, be decent, be obedient to God. She taught me these things. So this went into me. What was motivating me was the belief that I am to be good if I am to be accepted by God. I am to be a good person. So those things that I couldn't see as good anymore in me, I didn't like them, and I began to get rid of them one by one. And I finally saw that it wasn't good for us to not embrace the good and appreciate the good and support the good that we find in others, whether they belong to a religion or not, whether they are of your color or not, whether they are of your nationality or not. If they have good that's benefiting the whole humanity, acknowledge that good. And if you have an opportunity, even support that good and cherish that good and support that good. So this idea that is in the Focolare movement is something that our souls, our human souls, knows. Our soul knows that, and our soul wants that. Our souls are hungering for that. And for that reason, I have embraced them as my friends, and I admire them greatly, and I believe in their movement, and I consider myself a person who's open to their influences. I'm not closed. I'm open to their influences. Now, I want to address you, too, on not unity, but unity I'll have to mention, because Islam is the religion of unity. But on the promise that was made to Abraham, the prophet Abraham, this promise that was made to Abraham, peace be upon prophet Abraham, is in Christianity, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And in the Quran, we're told that Allah made Abraham, our second father, we call him Father Abraham, as Christians and Jews do, and we're told that God made him an imam for the nations, an imam for the nations, an imam for all the nations, for all people. God made him Father and Imam for all the nations. And by Imam, we understand the name. He made him a leader, made Prophet Abraham a leader for all the nations. And we are also told of Prophet Abraham in our Holy Scripture in the Quran that our order, our community order, is an order after the hope of Abraham, the hope, what he hoped for, what he wanted, his hope. It is the millah of Ibrahim, millati Ibrahim. It is the millah of Abraham. It is what Abraham wanted, what his vision was holding, what his hope was for the people, all people. And because my mother was such a strong church-going woman before she became Muslim in around 1931. About 2 years before I was born, she thought she was embraced a message that was Islam, and she called herself Muslim, and she was a Muslim, at least in her intentions, in her heart, but not in knowledge. She was not. She didn't know it yet. Because of her Christian background, her church background, I have a pretty good knowledge of Christian religion. And I've studied the Bible diligently. I've read it from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, twice, very carefully. So I'm familiar with the scripture of the Christian people, of the Christian community. there's many things I could say from Christianity, from the Christian knowledge or Christian understanding, to support what I'm going to say to you now, but it would take too much time, so I'm going right to the focus in Islam, the focus for the Muslim in Islam, and to make it, because the time is drawing and we don't want to be here long, to make it very brief, I'm going right to the point. Prophet Abraham for us is the man of ideal faith, model faith. He's a man, he's a model of faith, belief in God, faith in God. And Prophet Abraham is also the model of the coming together of faith and human reasoning. The coming together of faith and human reasoning in such a way that his life was not interrupted. His life was not did not have conflicts in it. His spiritual side was not in conflict with his human side or his worldly side. But he found peace, tranquility, harmony, these two harmonized in him, the spiritual world and the world that God wants for us in the material world. Not the material world per se, but the life that God wants for us in the material world. So the direction for human beings in the spiritual side and the direction for human beings in the human side or in the, and the material side were brought together and harmonized so that in his soul there was no conflict. There was no conflict or trouble. So this is what God wants for all of us. And in our religion, God says, seek what he has made available to you for the distant goal or the hereafter, but don't neglect your share in this world. So there's nothing wrong, chicken legs, roast chicken, baked chicken, fried chicken, or filet mignon, caviar. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Hickey Freeman, you know, shoes and Dobbs hats and all that. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as your spiritual side is not affected by that, so that your spiritual side becomes troubled, or weakened, or corrupt. As long as these things are not seen as something that is more important to you than your guidance, your light. The guidance is your life, the light is your life, and then you can have these things and enjoy these things. And God says to us in our holy book, who has said that these things are forbidden to my servants? These things are for them and even more in the hereafter. So God wants us to have the good material life and comforts, the comforts that that industry and indulging the business world can bring. God wants that, and God wants us to be industrious. Studying the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I see that God created a man and prepared that man to be successful in a material world. And he was seduced by the evil one, by the adversary, called Shaitan in Islam, Satan in the Bible. And he was seduced by that one out of the position that God had created him for. But he still realized progress in this material world. His children became industrious. They became industrious. And they built great cities, big cities, etc. And finally, as our holy book says, God caused him to meet Adam, to meet a word from his Lord, from God, and he saw it and repented and got back to the form that God created him on, in. The generations, they came back to God, some of them. And we know that the great prophets of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, they called the children of Adam to the way. And they became models again, model human beings for the rest of us. And Abraham is the model father for all of us. So getting to the point, we wouldn't have the advances we have in this world today if it was not for the people of the book, we're called Jews and Christians and us Muslims. We are more directly and more easily identified as the children of Abraham, or the followers in the way of Abraham, the followers of Abraham. Now we know that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he came and he became the model after Abraham for the Christian people. He became the model, the human model for them. But according to my understanding, Jesus didn't come to do away with anything that was right and good that was established before, but only to give support to those things, maybe to state them in a different way, but give support to those things. So in my understanding, they're still too the children of Abraham and the followers of Abraham, but through Jesus Christ, by way of Jesus Christ, by way of his life. So now, what have the people? who followed Abraham? What have we been able to do? You look at the world now and say, hey, this world is advanced. So where did it come from? Who have preserved civilization more than anybody else? It has been the people of the book and the Muslims. When it seems, Allahu Akbar, when it seems that everything was lost, the world was dark, then Islam came on the scene. Muhammad was inspired. A man who was not tutored by learned, any learned person, he was not formally educated, a man of mother wit, of good intelligence, a man of mother wit. He was inspired. He didn't know scripture. He wasn't acquainted with scripture. And he became a preacher of Islam, and in a relatively short period of time, men who knew nothing but roaming the desert and selling their goods at the in the markets and having sports like riding fast Arabian stallions and having camel races and etc. and fighting each other over very small trivial matters, those people were united into one group, united solidly upon Islam, upon Quran, and the leadership of Muhammad the Prophet. They were united, and intellectual life blossomed, bloomed among them. And they start to produce scholars, teachers, scholars, and scientists. And within a relatively short period of time, there were centers, great centers of higher learning in Baghdad and in Syria, in Egypt, in Fez, Morocco, and many places. Great universities, great centers in Timbuktu, Africa. Great centers of learning, attracting men of intellect from around the world to come and see this new appreciation for the human intellect and for the sciences that had been forgotten, the Greek sciences, the sciences that had been forgotten. So here was a revival of the intellect, renewal of the mind, renewal of the intellect, revival of interest in the sciences, and because of that, we had, instead of one eye one, two eye two, three eye, and IX nine, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 10, right? Because of that. And we call it the Arabic numerals, because the Arabics revived that. But the Indians have given the Arabs the argument. They say, no, we had that before you. But they didn't give it to the world. It was the children of Abraham who gave what they got to the world. The Jews have, in their own way, helped develop civilization, and they have helped contribute to academic excellence. Academic excellence. In their own way, they have had a real strong role in that. And we know that the Christians have been the leaders since the Renaissance. The Christians of the world, their nations have been the leaders in advancing sciences, learning, appreciation for knowledge. And Islam now is being revived again. After going to sleep under colonial domination, Islam is being revived again. And Islam is now beginning to join. It's a different world we're living in. I say, and I say it often, this is the best time in the history of man. Best time in the history of man. This is a new world we're seeing now. So you don't have scholars, too many scholars, thinking narrowly or selfishly, Muslim scholars, and wanting it all for themselves, wanting this for Arab glory or for Muslim glory. No. You have very important scientists working side by side with Christians and others, the Soviet members of the Soviet Union and others. They're all working side by side together for the better future for all people, for all humanity. This is a new time. And so in time, we're going to see Muslims come to the forefront again, but not with any selfish plan or mission. to pick or to create dominance, because God said whoever wants a dominance, he will deny them that. Whoever, Allah says that, whoever wants power or dominance, he will deny it to them. Who desires corruption or a dominance, they will be denied that by God. You will think you're succeeding, but you will be have the all of the props knocked off from under you, and you'll find yourself helpless one day. Yes. And that's what we're seeing in the world. We study history, we see that's what happened. And look now at the Russia. Russia, we think of Russia, say, oh, that's communist Russia. But Russia was just communist for 70 years. Russia had a bright page in civilization as a Christian nation. As a Christian nation. And they went astray. They obviously they didn't see all the beauty and good in their religion. So they let it go down. They neglected their mission as Christians. And they were punished with communism. Communism is a punishment. Especially on the children of Abraham. Yes, so they experienced 70 years of that, and now they have seen that the end of that has come. They can't go any further with it. So now they're looking to a different future for themselves, and they've given now more freedom to the church, more freedom to recognition to the value of religion in their lives. And the whole world is getting better and better. Look, I wouldn't have been born black in any other time than this. This is a great day for us. And let me tell you something. History is being made here in Harlem, New York, in Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz Mosque, right here in Harlem. History is being made. This great lady, I hope that you all will get more literature on the folklore movement and read about her, because you should, especially you imams, you leaders, even you business people, all of you leaders, you school teachers, you should know her her life story. So Islam is a religion of unity. It begins on that principle that God is one, His creation is one whole, is a whole, that there is one universal law for all matter, for all the material things, and that everything is related. Everything is related. And God has made things different, and human beings too, different, because He wants that unity to progress. The diversity is to provide the unity with legs, with wheels, with movement, so that we can have more movement and more progress. And God says that He has made us humanly different by color, by nationality, and to encourage us to want to get acquainted with each other. And if we get acquainted with each other, we're going to find benefit in you that's not in us. We're going to find help in humanity in you that's not in us. And God wants us to bring all this good help together so that our humanity will get where God wants it to go. Thank you very much. And we welcome this great lady. We welcome this great lady. And we will keep her in our hearts. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah.
Excuse me, dear people, please let Imam W.D. Muhammad and Ms. Lubick out of the Musala before we try to get out. Please just hold your seats and let them out. Thank you very much.